Alex, I've got to ask you, how much of a setback is losing Irvin Santana? And I'm going to be blunt. Do you really believe this team can compete in the AL East with this rotation right now?
I do, and I understand the concerns, and obviously with the way it pitched last year. And clearly, look, we would have loved to have added a starter. With respect to Santana, I think it's pretty obvious. It was all over the internet. And few things that I could say, and I'm going to be very selective with my words.
Okay.
You know, from what I was told, we couldn't compete with the NL. The National League is where he wanted to be. So it was not money. It was not years. So we couldn't compete with that. All that said...
Did you think you had him signed at one point?
I would say that's a great question to ask me, Jeff. And I would say that I'm probably not going to talk about it a whole lot. You know, I know based on past, speaking in general terms, you know, normally when things really leak around the Toronto Blue Jays to an extreme degree, they're normally done.
Mm-hmm.
Rarely do you see us. I mean, we're in the rumors here and there, but sometimes when there's a ton of fire, that's only when things are done. So that's just a general statement that I'll make. Yeah, from what we were told, we couldn't compete being in the NL. He wanted to be in the NL. That's where he wanted to be.
Why not give him? I'm going to play devil's advocate here. Why not give him 2 years with a vesting third year, or you know, at a market rate, or 1 year with a second year vesting at a market rate?
My understanding is that he wanted a 1 year deal, reestablish himself, go out and obviously have a great year. I can tell you, definitely was not the money. Money was not a problem in terms of us being competitive there and things like that. And you know, obviously when this decision was made, I don't know when the decision was made that the National League was where he wanted to be. I wonder if the National League became a little more appealing when guys got hurt. So, and it is what it is. I wish everyone the best. Wish him the best. Would have liked to have had him. But it's, you know, we're in the American League, and guy doesn't want to be in the American League. There's anything that we can do.
Do you think you misplayed your hand during the offseason?
No, I don't think so. I don't think there was anything that... we were close to a trade. But other than that, no, from a free agent standpoint, no. You can't. I mean, I don't think it would have changed anything. Let's say you take in the case of Santana. If a guy wants to be in the NL, he wants to be in the NL. We can't. I mean, I don't think we could have gotten a division change done in time by the time free agency hit to go to the commissioner's office to get us moved to the NL in time to get an offer accepted. So I think we had... we believe we had the right price points on the players, and you know, we weren't going to force a deal just for the sake of doing it. So I think with respect to Irvin, you know, he's got a one-year deal. I think that's what made sense for us. And ultimately, he wanted to go to the NL.
See, I guess we're joined by Alex Anthopoulos, general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. I guess the reason I'm asking this is you were pretty clear. You wanted to improve the starting rotation. You were also pretty clear that the end of last year that risk was going to play a role. You were reevaluating what exactly risk was for the Toronto Blue Jays. But I guess my question, and the question a lot of fans have, is you've got that, and I think people will understand the reasoning behind that, but then you couple in that there appears to be limitations on how long you can go with contracts. People are automatically going to assume, Alex, you know this as well as I do, that if there's limitations on terms of contract, there's going to be limitations on how much money ownership is going to give you to spend. People always take two and two and have it come out to four. And I guess they just, can you compete and can you win with all those limitations? I mean, your predecessor used to say, you know what, part of the cost of doing business in Toronto is you got to pay more than other people because you're a less attractive market, essentially, than other teams.
Yeah, and obviously, look, I think the world of JP, and you know, we obviously worked together and we didn't agree on everything, and that's fine. Learned a lot from him and have all the respect in the world for him. I don't necessarily subscribe to that theory. I think Toronto's very attractive overall. I think at certain times, I can understand, for example, if you pitch, there might be I've had it before. I remember, I could talk about this now, but years ago, it must have been 3 or 4 years ago, John Garland signed with San Diego, I remember just talking to his agent. He was very honest and candid, and that's what you want from a club standpoint. Just mention, look, I've got a chance to go to San Diego, much bigger ballpark, on a one-year deal, better chance to help his market value going forward. It didn't have anything to do with Toronto, the market. The division was certainly part of it. The ballpark, certainly part of it. That goes without saying. Conversely, position players love being here because it's a great place to play. But I think overall, from the city and the country, I think it's a plus. I think players, when they get here, just go ask someone like Mark Burley, who hadn't spent a lot of time other than coming through once a year with the Chicago White Sox, but I think he loves the city, he loves being here. But if most players that are signing one-year deals, they're, especially at a young age, are clearly looking to reestablish themselves and get the long-term contract that all players do. So I think when you look back to the World Series years, the players that were signing short-term deals were older, established guys: Winfield, Molitor, Steve, Jack Morris. Jack Morris, Dave Stewart, guys like that. They had already, I think, made their money and gotten their long-term contracts, and they were looking for a place to win. So, you know, it's we've been able to sign free agents. That hasn't been a problem before. You just don't want to make a deal for the sake of making a deal, make a big splash. Everyone's excited if ultimately you don't believe in the acquisition long-term.
So you never got to the point where you said to JLU or whoever was representing Irvin Santana, we'll talk about that in a minute, but you never got to the point where you actually said to them, or the door was open to say to them, look, we'll give you 2 years, you know, whatever, a year plus a vesting option, whatever it is. You never got to that point.
No, I mean, the way, obviously, there was a change in agency. He was with Irvin Santana, was with Proformance, and he left Proformance. And again, from my understanding of it, JLU has gone off on his own and started his own agency. So Irvin Santana signed on with him, and JLU was very specific that he wanted a 1 year deal. He wanted a 1 year deal. The player wanted a 1 year deal. They reached out to us and explained that a one-year deal is what they wanted to do. And,
did that change from when Bean was representing?
I think earlier. I think it's fair to say that earlier in the off season, I know there was a lot of reports, especially early on. I mean, it's all over the internet. There's a lot of reports of desires for a long-term deal and certain dollar amounts. And you know, out of respect to those parties, I'm not going to get into maybe what information I had or was told about length and dollars. But I think it's accurate to say that, you know, there was, at least it was characterized as, there was a desire for a longer-term deal at a certain price. And, you know, Jay would probably explain the same way that at a certain price it made sense for the player to bet on himself on a one-year deal rather than a long-term deal at lower dollars. But, you know, he'd obviously be the one, and Irvin would be the one to talk to about that. But from our standpoint, we were told here currently that a one-year deal is what he wanted to do.
What happens when an agency splits like that and in the middle of a negotiation? I mean, you literally go from talking to one guy about it, Irvin Santana, to another guy. How often does that happen?
Not very often, especially in an off season.
Right.
I don't see it happen. Normally, players switch agencies all the time. That's very common in our game. You know, the fans and the media don't necessarily know it. Sometimes it's written about on the internet. For the most part, it's pretty common. It's not anything new or anything alarming. Most times it happens spring training, off season, early. But you rarely see it happen in the midst of free agency is probably the best way to do it. But players change all the time. But I don't know that it's happened too many times where someone's changed in the middle of free agency.
You guys went all in last year, obviously, and now people are going to look at an off season where, you know, with all due respect, fans are going to think you spun your wheels for the most part. You
sure.
Probably don't feel that way,
sure.
but fans will look at it that way. And in some ways, I kind of see it that way as well. But what changed, Alex, between going all in to... Well, you know,
I think we didn't go into last offseason, meaning the 2012-2013 offseason, with, you know, I'm not into the all-in term.
Okay.
But I understand it.
Yeah.
When we make the acquisitions we made and we added the payroll we did, I don't shy away from that. I don't necessarily believe in it just because I don't believe the organization just stops and, you know, you do something for a year or two and then it just stops. You're obviously trying to keep it going in a continual basis at that time. You know, we had some deals that presented themselves. If they did present themselves, we wouldn't have done them. So there's always opportunities to do things, and sometimes it doesn't, you know, players aren't a fit for your ballpark, for your division, things like that. So we were pretty active in terms of dialogue, like we always are, but there wasn't anything that presented itself that we felt made sense. So there were multiple deals that we could have made that would have brought in some names and people would have been excited. But ultimately, I think it would have shown that they weren't the right acquisition. So I understand it's been quiet from a sense of player acquisition standpoint. But we do have some guys that are coming back that we think are going to help. Getting Cabrera back to full health, that he looks much different than he did at the end of the last year. Getting a guy like Drew back, who looks outstanding right now and is an added starter, I think is important. And even just getting a guy like Brandon back on the mound is a big add as well. So that being said, it doesn't mean that conversations stop and we don't have dialogue continuously in March, past opening day, trades, things like that. The free agent market is what it is. There's really no other starters left that can have an impact. But the trade's still out there.
I was going to say, but your two strengths in this team are clearly the bullpen, and you're right, Melky Cabrera's look great. This lineup, I think, should be really good.
Sure.
Would you pull one of those commodities out to get a starting pitcher?
Sure, we certainly would, and we definitely explored doing that. In the off-season, just things didn't present themselves and they didn't work out. But I think a big part of what we did as well is, we realized, the opportunity to have guys like Batista, Encarnacion, and even going into last year, Brandon Morrow looked like he was rounding into all-star form with a sub-3 ERA, and you realize you only have so many opportunities to win with those players, especially the core of our team, with guys like Batista and Encarnacion, we have them under control. They're in their early, they're 31, 32, 33. We fell into those players, being completely candid. Jose Batista, sure, we signed him, and I think our scouts and development staff deserve credit for being able to get the most out of him, but we didn't expect that. Edwin Encarnacion, we had belief in him. We kept bringing him back. But he emerged to be a superstar player. I think I'm stating the obvious. So all of a sudden, you start developing a core that, when I started in 2010, Batista wasn't going to be part of that core. And it was going to be young, draft and develop and take a long-term view, but the time frame changed. You got Colby Rasmus with a few years of control left and so on. Unel, and they even getting a guy like Reyes. So there's definitely a sentiment to try to move it forward, but it has to make sense as well. So can we do a bunch of moves to get some players? But if we don't feel they're going to be productive for us, it's not going to do us any good.
Will you have failed if you go north with the starting rotation right now?
Yeah, I don't see it that way. And again, I understand, look, we wanted to add, but I think the caveat to that is it's not ever just to add at all costs. when you get asked, what do you want to do with the team? What would you like to add? Clearly, we wanted to add to the rotation based on the results last year. Drew right now looks like he's got a very good chance to make this team. He's not there yet, but he's performing very, very well. And that's a starter that we didn't have last year. Morrow, we didn't have him last year. Those are two starters. All that said, we would have loved to have added more starters and have a guy like Drew come out in spring training, throw great, and be able to option him and just have him as your sixth starter, have that kind of depth. But if it didn't present itself, we still felt like we had some internal options that could really surprise for us.
Do you feel that you, this front office, and the manager, that you guys are really under more pressure this year than you were any other year? That you need that you need a good start and a good year to keep your job.
Oh, basically. Yeah, and I understand that as well. That's sports. I don't, and that's not lip service. I think because that comes from the ownership and management, and obviously the people I report to, Paul and so on. So you put pressure on yourself regardless, day in and day out, to win games. You can't be in these jobs or in this line of work and spend the time. It's a way of life. It's not really a job. So you live and die all the time with every pitch and every play. So, but I understand with the moves we made last offseason, the results we had on the field. I don't get caught up in talk radio or media things.
You should.
Like
it's good.
I know exactly. Because I know that it'll probably impact me.
You should go on Twitter.
I would love it, probably. But I know it'll probably impact me one way or the other. Anyone that says that it whether you're a player or anybody else, I don't think anyone likes to be criticized and so on. But I understand full well that's part of the game. So, and the only way that stops is if you win games. So I'm not trying to make light of it or say that it's not important. It is important. But you know that you have a job to do, and you have to do it, obviously, to the best of your abilities and what you see fit for the ball club. And I don't think that changes. And I think expectations, things like that, that's all part of the job. We're not here to not win games and not compete and so on. So I think the Indians last year, no one expected a lot of them, and they had some guys step up in that rotation. Justin Masterson bounced back. Ubaldo Jimenez bounced back. Kazmir had a great year for them. So they had some guys really emerge. I'm actually pretty excited to see Romero today. just because the second inning of his last game was, we hadn't seen that in 2 years from him. So I'm curious, has he found something, or was it just an unbelievable inning from him? But he's been working a lot on his arm action and doing towel drills and trying to emulate a little bit of, you know, Johan Santana, Cliff Lee a little bit. And the second inning of his last appearance, stuff was electric. We hadn't seen that in 2 years from him. So I'll be very curious to see if it carries over now with all the work that he's done.
Before we let you go, Alex Anthopoulos joining us on the Jeff Blair Show. You had a lot of guys in this team that were sending emails and text messages to Irvin, and you know, the infamous picture, group
sure.
picture. Do you have to talk to this clubhouse, or do you have to? Do you feel that you've maybe lost a little bit of faith? The players have lost a bit of faith in you.
No, I think it's actually the opposite. I think the players all were well aware of how everything transpired. So I think it's actually the opposite. I think the players, you know, again, like you said, Irvin Santana, from my understanding, had a lot of relationships
mm-hmm.
with players on this team. So I think it's actually the opposite. I think, and you know, I think the players would tell you that as well. They were unbelievable throughout the process of just obviously, you know, they wanted him here, and I think they'd be the first ones to tell you that we can't compete with the NL, just we can't compete with the division, but there wasn't anything else that we could have done. And probably should stop saying a whole lot more before I say something that ends up sparking something.